You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
A couple of days ago here on campus, some students from Hong Kong set up a Lenin wall to get some opinions about what is happening in Hong Kong right now in regards to the protests. They were approached by some Chinese students and one girl was knocked down to the ground during the interaction. I'm joined in studio now with Sherry. Hello, Sherry, how are you?
I'm good.
And Sherry's been covering the ongoing Hong Kong protest over the past few weeks. And so yeah. She's got a few opinions that you might want to put through or just talk about it.
Yeah. So I guess I'd like to run through first kind of contextually what's been happening. So tensions between Hong Kong and China have been continuing over the extradition bill. The bill basically would allow Hong Kong people to be extradited to mainland China. And so Hong Kong operates on a one country, two system rule. Mm-hmm. So that means China is communism and then Hong Kong experiences a few more freedoms, I guess. However, critics fear that the new rule would erode this independence. So over the past few weeks, over millions of protesters have taken to the streets to protest for the complete withdrawal of the bill. They've also clarified their demands to also include retraction of riot classification against protesters. And so currently the level of aggression in the last two protests have been unprecedented, and they're planning a nationwide boycott next Monday. On Sunday, so just the Sunday that has come, dozens of masked men in white shirts stormed a train station in Hong Kong, assaulting people returning home from pro-democracy protests with wooden sticks and metal rods. There's currently widespread speculation that the attackers were part of the triads, so the Chinese mafia, due to the lack of response from the police.
So what is the significance of the white and black t-shirts?
So originally the dress code for the first protest on June 9th was white shirts. Mm-hmm. However, the day before the second protest on June 16th, a protester committed suicide, and so the protesters wore black to mourn.
Right.
Mental health has been a huge concern throughout the protests. According to a pro-democracy Hong Kong protester I talked to last night, police are randomly searching anyone who's wearing black t-shirts in the streets. Yeah, they apparently force people to unlock their phones to check if they have any pro-democracy pictures or text messages and write down the Hong Kong ID number. However, this, in comparison with the white street attack, white shirt attackers, police haven't searched or frisked any, you know, them to the same degree as the black shirt protesters. So there's a bit of a disparity in terms of the police and their response to the different groups.
To different groups, right. So yeah. What are the protesters asking for?
Yeah, so they're hoping to establish, along with wanting the police to redefine their definition of protester, because currently protesters would have to face up to 10 years in jail, which is quite a hefty amount.
That's a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah, and they're also hoping to establish an independent investigation to police brutality and excessive force. So police using tear gas, and there's talk that they're going to start using water bombs as well. So, yeah, questions around that, and they also want the implementation of universal suffrage.
Okay, yeah. So can you give me the rundown on what happened on campus yesterday?
Yeah, so this was on Monday. Has been erected at the University of Auckland by a group supporting the protests in Hong Kong. However, it's been torn down twice so far. and so on Monday, fights broke out between three Chinese students and a Hong Kong student protester. I talked to 95BFM reporter Justin, who witnessed the altercation.
And we've got a clip.
Yeah.
On Monday afternoon, after I heard several Chinese students were surrounding an opinion wall set up by Hong Kong students to show their support for the anti-extradition bill protests in Hong Kong, I went down to investigate. When I arrived, the Chinese male students, who were much taller than the three female Hong Kong students present at that time, were shouting at them, accusing them of being supportive of Hong Kong independence from China and demanding them to speak Mandarin instead of English. Shortly after, one of the Chinese students came forward to the group and made physical contact with one of the female Hong Kong students.
Yeah, so basically they pushed her on the ground. Yeah.
All right, so why do people in Hong Kong want to be independent, basically? Right. So what makes them special is what I'm asking.
Well, basically I talked to the pro-democracy protester last night, and she was saying that Hong Kong people never had the right to vote. So even in the drafting of the Treaty of Nanking or the Sino-British Treaty, and she says that even in recent times, they're only allowed to vote for 30 out of 70 in their legislature. So basically their parliament, their council, still has China Communist Party majority. Mm-hmm. She was also concerned about the implication of the economy, as two out of three major banks have headquarters in Hong Kong. She's concerned that basically corporations will withdraw from Hong Kong if they collapse into full China rule. Culturally, there's also really deep tension. So from her perspective, the Chinese government are trying to brainwash younger kids with enforced Mandarin classes and the singing of national anthem. Linguistically, most Hong Kong people speak Cantonese. And the older generation also more likely to support staying with China. Her own parents are pro-China.
All right. And why do mainland Chinese people want Hong Kong so badly?
I guess even within Hong Kong, it's split. So there are people in Hong Kong who support staying with China because they think Hong Kong doesn't have, you know, their own independent water source, so that places them at risk. They've got fears that Hong Kong's economy will collapse if they actually become independent. And they also view protesters as driving the economy away because it's violent, because it's messy, it's wrecking peacefulness. I guess from mainland China people, there's a very strong ownership feeling regarding Hong Kong.
What do you mean by that?
Ownership? So, I guess there's that feeling that because Hong Kong belongs to China, that they should just suck up and deal with it. So there's the clip that's been circulating around of the three Chinese men who pushed over that Hong Kong protest, and they basically yell, if you don't like Hong Kong, you should just leave it. So they basically feel like they themselves have an ownership on the land, on the resources on it.
And you don't think that's necessarily the case?
I think it's a complicated issue, and I think there's views from both sides. I am of the opinion that if people want to be independent, that should be respected. And it seems like there are millions of people who do want that.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. There's also that feeling of, I think, inferiority from China. So
from mainland China.
From mainland China. Okay. So Hong Kong's always done super well economically. And I guess part of that's because it's been open up to the wider world, globalization, the different rules that has means business, it's easier for Western business to operate. And so my opinion is that China wants to prove that they can also be economically prosperous under communism rule. I'm no academic, but that's just conversations I've had with Chinese people. They feel like they want to attach onto Hong Kong. So,
well, thank you very much for that. That was excellent analysis.
It's complicated.
It is very complicated.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.